Our text today comes out of Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can, in the next moment, say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, some lessons come easy. They come gently. But others, they kind of hit us like a rock to the head. Now, this lesson from Jesus lands somewhere in between. Jesus is still walking the dusty roads of Galilee with his disciples. But the conversation has taken a turn. We talked last week, just a few verses earlier, that the disciples were arguing about who among them was the greatest. They were jostling for position while walking behind the one who was on his way to the cross. And now they're drawing lines again, not around each other this time, but around someone outside their group. "Teacher," John says, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he's not one of us." He's not one of us. There it is, that impulse, that instinct we have to divide the world into categories, us and them, insiders and outsiders, authorized and unauthorized, right tribe and wrong tribe. Now, sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's defensive, sometimes it's even meant to protect the name of Jesus. But Jesus does not respond with praise. He doesn't commend them for guarding his brand. He gets on to them for drawing a line. He doesn't want them to stop him, the guy that was performing miracles. Jesus tells them, someone who does a miracle in my name can't then, in the next moment, talk bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Oh, that statement is just full of grace, y'all. It's a challenge, though. It pushes back against our need to control who gets to belong, who gets to speak, who gets to serve. It widens the circle of participation in the kingdom, not carelessly, but generously. So what Jesus is doing here is very formational. He's training his disciples for the kind of mission that can't be carried out with closed fists and narrow eyes. The mission of God will always be bigger than our comfort zones. And the very moment we begin thinking we have sole ownership of it is the moment we need to stop and listen again to this word from the Lord. Yeah, we need this reminder today. Not because we're mean-spirited, but because most of us want to get it right. We love Jesus. We care about truth. We care about the integrity of the church. And in that desire to be faithful, we find ourselves forming circles that are smaller than the ones that Jesus draws. Our hearts are so very eager to protect the name of Jesus, but sometimes our fears speak louder than our faith. I've seen this before in a very small community. There were two churches, small churches, but they shared a similar mission. They wanted to feed their hungry neighbors. One church had space, the other church had volunteers. But they weren't from the same denomination. One group was wary, scared of the other's theology. They didn't agree on every point of doctrine. And some of them were whispering among themselves, "Yeah, they're not like us. I'm not sure we can trust them. They might try to convert us." And while they were whispering and debating, people were still hungry. Finally, the Spirit does what the Spirit does. It broke through the whispers. There was a sound of shared laughter. There was a casserole passed from one hand to the other, a prayer over someone in need. And those denominational lines blurred, and people got fed. And Jesus was glorified. Not because everyone agreed on everything, but because the name of Jesus was honored in their service. You know, if we think about it, and if we look around, and we take the blinders off of our eyes, sometimes the very people we think are on the outside are the ones already doing the work of the kingdom. And friends, instead of drawing lines, we're called to draw near. We're called to draw near to them and to Jesus. Jesus isn't interested in tribal pride. He's interested in faithful witness. The disciples had seen a man casting out demons, not in his own name, not for his own glory, but in Jesus' name. And their first reaction wasn't, "Praise God," it was, "He's not one of us." Jesus cuts through their suspicions, and he does so with clarity and with calm. "Whoever's not against us is for us." He's saying, look again, this man may not be one of your circle, but he's following me. He's carrying my name into places of darkness and bringing light. And this matters for discipleship, because if we only recognize Christ in the people who look like us, worship like us, vote like us, we will miss the beautiful diversity of the body of Christ. Outreach begins not with a gate, but with an open hand. It's not indiscriminate, but it is welcoming. Outreach looks for Jesus in unexpected places and asks, "Is God at work here?" instead of assuming that he couldn't be. The story continues, and Jesus makes another statement and tells them that if someone offers a cup of water in his name, because you belong to Jesus, they will not lose their reward. You know, I'm firmly convinced Jesus doesn't care what our denomination is. Now, without a doubt, I'm United Methodist to the core. Not that I agree with everything, but I agree with grace that is extended to everyone. I agree with the fact it's God's choice, not mine. Jesus has moved from casting out demons to offering a cup of water. He's moved from public power to quiet private service. He's not just talking about dramatic acts of faith. He's blessing small acts of kindness done for the sake of His name. Oh yes, the kingdom comes in miracles, but it also comes in meals, it comes in mercy, it comes in moments of compassion that may never be noticed by anyone. But then the tone shifts a little bit, and Jesus warns His disciples not to be the cause of someone stumbling. And while He talks about calls them one of the little ones, and many of us think about children, it could also be someone of little faith or of no faith. And if Jesus warns us that if we cause someone to stumble, it'd be better if a big rock was tied around our neck and we were drowned. It would be better if our limbs were cut off. It would be better if our eyes were torn out. You know, these are hard words and they sound very violent. But Jesus is actually using hyperbole to make a point. Take sin seriously. Especially the sin that harms others or leads them away from God or drives them away from God. And He's especially warning against the sin that grows from arrogance, from entitlement, and from misplaced authority. See, this whole passage is connected. The disciples want to shut someone down. And Jesus tells them to stop. Quit drawing lines. Because if you aren't careful, if you cause harm, if you make someone young in the faith stumble, you are in jeopardy. Jesus is telling us not to mistake our position for permission, to exclude. We don't get to exclude. We aren't God. What if the real danger isn't someone casting out demons in Jesus' name without being one of us, but us trying to protect our spiritual turf and wind up leading others away from grace? Jesus is calling His disciples to radical self-examination, to be willing to part with anything, comfort, tradition, control, that keeps His disciples from loving others or keeps them from living into the truth of the kingdom. And in the end, He says, have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. And that's where it lands. Be salty, but not in the way the world uses the word. Be flavorful is what Jesus is saying. Be distinct. Preserve what is good. Stay grounded and be at peace with one another. This is discipleship, friends. Not just what we believe, but how we see people, how we hold on to power, how we treat those who aren't one of us. This is a call to see as Jesus sees, not in categories, but in compassion. The church is guilty of drawing lines that Jesus never asked us to draw. We make belonging about uniformity instead of unity. We've mistaken similarity for sanctity. But Jesus doesn't build His kingdom that way. He takes a Samaritan and makes him the hero of the story. He calls fishermen and tax collectors and women and zealots. He meets a Roman centurion and says, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. He lets a bleeding woman touch Him. He lets a sinful woman anoint Him. He invites children into His lap and He promises paradise to a thief. Jesus is constantly widening the circle, not by ignoring truth, but by embodying it. Truth that says every person is made in the image of God. Every heart is a potential home for the Spirit. And every act of love done in His name matters. Years ago, a friend of mine who was deeply committed to his church found himself in a weird situation. His church was going through a rough season, and he was trying to get everyone to get along. One night he was praying and he felt prompted to walk into another church. Now, he had passed this church hundreds of times, but he had never entered. See, he was white and the congregation was black. He was dressed in slacks and a tie. They were in jeans and choir robes. The music was louder than he was used to. And he slips into the back pew. He's frankly unsure why he's even there. But then the preacher stood up and started speaking. And to my friend, it was like God speaking straight from the heavens. The word that came from the pulpit hit every ache in his heart. The preacher didn't know him, and he didn't know her. But the Spirit knew them both. And after the service, he thanked her. And she told him, said, "You looked like you needed a word from the Lord. I'm glad you came." That night changed him. It didn't change his theology. It didn't change his church affiliation. But it changed the way he saw the body of Christ. It made him more open, more willing to listen, less concerned about us and them, and far more concerned about where Jesus might be moving just outside the lines he had drawn. Jesus doesn't need us to patrol the borders of his kingdom. He invites us to be witnesses, joyful, faithful, generous participants in his mission. His mission will stretch us. It will take us into places where we're uncomfortable. It will take us to people that we wouldn't have chosen to be our co-laborers. But that is the story of the church. People drawn together by grace, not merit, called by a name that's not their own, empowered by a spirit they didn't earn, sent to a world they don't control, and sent to that world with love they did not manufacture. Discipleship means letting Jesus expand our vision of who belongs. It means seeing allies where we once saw threats. It means celebrating cups of water and acts of kindness. It means being at peace with one another even when we don't see eye to eye. See, the question is no longer, is he one of us? The question is he honoring Jesus? Whoever is not against us is for us. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord, thank you for reminding us today that your kingdom is bigger than our circles. Thank you for welcoming us, and thank you for sending us out to welcome others. As we go from this place, help us to see not enemies, but neighbors. Not strangers, but brothers and sisters in Christ. Let every word and deed we do in your name shine with your love. In your name we pray. Amen.